Thank you for coming today. We are fortunate again to have Dr. Paul Grimm and Reverend John Vicker with us today from the Commission on Worship. I think some of you have them for class right now, so this is just bonus material for you.
It's great to be here again, and this is the second of four that we're going to do. Last time we looked at the services of Lutheran Service Book, and today we want to look at some of the new hymns in Lutheran Service Book. A big part of the hymnal project has been, as every Lutheran hymnal project, a matter of looking to see what we already know and can sing, and a kind of conserving of the best of our tradition. But today we want to take a look at what's new in the hymnal that's coming out, and there's quite a bit of new stuff, probably more than any Lutheran hymnal in the Missouri Synod in our history. First of all, we have actually figured out where the hymns are going to be on the page and how many will be in the hymnal exactly. We were able to get all 631, I guess it was, that were on the list. We didn't have to put any standbys by. And we also were able to add five hymns from the electronic that were originally slated only for the electronic edition. Through the wonder of desktop publishing, we were able to lay it out in such a way. So there'll be 636 hymns, and that includes biblical canticles and that sort of thing in the hymnal. Throughout the process of putting together the harmonizations, we've recognized one of the struggles with Lutheran worship. The 1982 hymnal has been with the harmonizations. So we have strived to have singable four-part harmonizations wherever possible and wherever applicable. We've also included melody line only for difficult and longer hymns. So some of the plain song type of chant hymns, which don't lend themselves well to four-part singing, we have put in melody line only. That also allows us to put a few more hymns in terms of saving space. There's been an incredible search for new hymns. Historically, we are living at the tail end of the largest hymn explosion in the English language ever, the last part of the 20th century. Historically, Robin Lever, a musicologist, identifies hymn explosions at the end of the 18th century and another one at the end of the 19th, and now we've had a big one at the end of the 20th. So this hymnal is primed to receive the best fruits from that hymn explosion. And yet, even in the midst of that hymn explosion, it is a challenge to find hymns that are biblically focused, that is, actually focus on something that's in the Bible, and then viewed through the lenses of the gospel, which is what Lutherans would prize the most about a hymn. We are also looking for hymns that have lectionary usability. So, for instance, there are a lot of texts in the three-year lectionary, which is about a 40-year-old lectionary, that don't have hymns to go with them. So we have tried to find new hymns that will match the readings, particularly the Holy Gospel. There's also been a desire for expanding our hymnody beyond the kind of hymnody we're used to hearing, because we believe that the Church Catholic of space includes other parts of the world with other kinds of music, and that other Christians in other parts of the world may have something to contribute to us in terms of new hymn texts and new tunes. So ethnic hymnody, ethnic and world hymnody. And finally, other songs and genres. We live at a time when the contemporary worship and praise genre is a part of many of our congregations. So some of those have been weighed and considered, and a few have made their way into the hymnal as well, some of the ones that we think are the best. We have, throughout this, tried to return to familiar texts. For instance, it used to be "Take My Life, O Lord, Renew." In LW, we tried to send it back to "Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated Unto Thee." "My faith looks up to Thee," instead of "My faith looks trustingly." "I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus," instead of "You, Lord Jesus." There's been, we've heard of updating texts where you try to take the "these" and "thous" and put them into "you." We've done some down-dating, what we're calling down-dating, which is to return to familiar texts. We believe that most people know what "thee" and "thou" means. Even though it is an archaic use of an archaic language, people generally know what they mean. And so there's some value in that, in places at least. Returning to familiar melodies. God loved the world so that he gave. The LW melody is a fine melody, but most people are used to singing the TLH melody. Same story with the Day of Resurrection and Fight the Good Fight. Well, let's take a look at some of the new hymns. The first hymn we want to look at, this first hymn, the text appeared in Hymnal Supplement 98. This is the Spirit's entry now. It's a baptismal hymn. The text is by Thomas Hebrinson. He's an ELCA pastor who wrote this as part of his master's thesis in a study of theology and the sacraments as they occurred in a service book and hymnal. We have put a new tune to it, a tune by Roy Hopp, who is a music professor at Calvin Seminary in Grand Rapids. Let's sing through this. Paul's going to play it once, and I'll sing the first stanza and invite you to join with me on the second and third. This is the Spirit's entry now, the water and the word. The cross of Jesus on your brow, the seal both felt and heard. This miracle of life reborn comes from the Lord of breath. The perfect man from life was torn, our life comes through Christ's death. Let's stop it right there, because it probably isn't profitable to try to sing those words without the music on the third stanza. But notice the wonderful baptismal imagery that's going on in here. This is a very appropriate hymn at a baptism. Also on Sundays that are about baptism, like the baptism of our Lord, or the Sunday after Easter, that sort of thing. Let's take a look at another one. Heavenly Hosts in Ceaseless Worship. This text is by Timothy Dudley Smith. You may recall that Timothy Dudley Smith has written the hymn in Lutheran worship, Christ Be My Leader, a very sturdy text. He's an evangelical bishop who has produced over the many years several volumes of hymns, and he's still writing to this day. A number of his texts appeared in Hymnal Supplement 98. And in an interview with Timothy Dudley Smith, he makes clear his view of Scripture and the role that it plays in the shaping of his hymn text. He says, "We are always in danger of holding a view of Christ made in our own image, or in the image of those parts of theology that appeal to us. But the only real Christ we know, and the Catholic, that is, the universal Christ, is the Christ of Revelation. We know almost nothing about him apart from what is revealed in Scripture." He continues, "I feel that the hymn writer has the responsibility to stick closely to Scripture. I don't mean simply verbally, but to try to make sure that the words in his hymn put into the mouths of worshipers is true to divine revelation." This hymn is a paraphrase of the Dignus Est, Worthy is Christ hymn from Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. So this hymn is a melody that could be sung any time of the year as part of as a Dignus Est, as a Worthy is Christ, or we've also set the same melody, the new melody, to a Transfiguration hymn. So one of the ways of going about teaching a hymn in a congregation is, if it's a Transfiguration hymn and it's a melody that's only sung on Transfiguration, that's going to be a challenge to teach, because there aren't any other times. So there are a number of places in the hymnal where we have built in kind of dual hymns, especially with new tunes, to provide opportunity for you to learn them apart from their unique place. The tune is by Amanda Husberg. She's an LCMS composer in New York City, a retired preschool teacher. Let's give this a try. Paul, play it once, and we'll sing both stanzas. Thank you.
Heavenly hosts in ceaseless worship, holy, holy, holy cry. He who is, who was, and will be, God Almighty, Lord Most High. Praise and honor, power and glory be to Him who reigns alone. We with all His hands have fashioned, fall before the Father's throne. All creation, all redemption, join to sing the Savior's worth. Lamb of God, whose blood has bought us kings and priests to reign on earth. Wealth and wisdom, power and glory, honor, might, dominion, praise, now be His from all His creatures and to everlasting days.
A very accessible melody because there's a lot of repetition. The first and second line are the same as the third line, basically. As the fourth line, and the third line is something new. So once you've learned one line, you've basically learned three quarters of the hymn. And yet you don't get tired of singing it either. Here's another hymn. This is by a female composer from the 19th century. She has an interesting name. Charity Lees Smith was her maiden name, and she got married to a guy by the name of Bancroft, and then he died and got married to a fellow by the name of Deschenet. So she has a rather interesting history. The melody is by Vernon Griffiths. He was the premier Anglican composer in New Zealand for a number of years. He passed away in 1985. This is a new melody, for us anyway, and I think a very fine melody. The text is, again, focusing on a kind of Revelation 4 and 5 sort of thing, but more or less than the great high priest imagery. Let's sing two stanzas. Paul will introduce it once, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. Powerful gospel message of this hymn. A couple more stanzas follow. This next hymn is a confirmation hymn written by Stephen Starkey. He is a Missouri Synod pastor in Michigan. And he has written quite a few hymns. His hymnary, a collection of over 100 of his hymns, was recently published by Concordia Publishing House. This is what he says about hymn writing, the focus and aim of his hymn writing. He says, "The most important thing in my mind is that the text needs to have a strong biblical base anchored in biblical theology and be as Christocentric as possible. Not that you can in every hymn incorporate the cross and Christ in the same way, but it seems that since Christ is the key that unlocks Scripture, He should also be the key that unlocks the hymn text as well. That's exactly where I want to be." Most of Starkey's hymns come as a result of a sermon, because as he is doing the exegetical study on the hymn and begins to formulate the sermon, he also is then able to think about how we might put this into a crystallized, condensed version, which is really what many of his hymns are many sermons, proclamations of the law and the gospel. This is a confirmation text that he wrote for his niece. Why don't we try singing this new melody? Oh, it's the same one we just did. Okay, it's the same one. So we're trying to show how a melody can be used more than once. Let's just sing stanzas 1 and 2.
O gracious Lord, with love draw near to these your children gathered here. The Spirit's gift in them renew the gift of faith that leads to you. So at your baptismal flood, they have been cleansed by Jesus' blood.
Four more stanzas follow. This is a wonderful hymn, again, to use at confirmation. And, of course, you'd want to teach the melody using the other melody at other times during the church year. Here's another hymn by Stephen Starkey, an Advent hymn. Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors. The tune is by Paul Lillestrand, and this is an Advent hymn, so let's sing stanzas 1 and 4. Paraphrase of Psalm 24, a great Advent psalm. Our next text is an example of a hymn from another culture outside of American culture, or mainstream American culture at least. This is a Latino melody and originally a text in Spanish. It appears in Spanish in our Spanish hymnal, Cantada al Señor, and it has been translated by Stephen Starkey and put into hymn form. This is a bit of a challenging melody in some regards, but let's give it a try.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Holy Spirit, the dove sent from heaven, ever one with the one who is three. From the Father you came, words of peace to proclaim. Come and comfort us, speak soothingly. You, the fragrance of life we are seeking, fill your temple, your altar make clean. Joyous shelter of love, gracious friend from above, in your care we are resting serene.
It's a Pentecost text. I believe there are, what, three stanzas? Four stanzas to this. Not that tough of a melody once you get it down. You get that little lilt there about in the middle. Here's a text by Christopher Idle, a kind of compatriot of Timothy Dudley Smith. Christopher Idle is an Anglican pastor as well, and a graduate in English from Oxford University. He tells about the genesis of this hymn in particular. He says, this is based on 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, where Paul says, if Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, then, you know, all bets are off, in other words. This is what Christopher Idle says. In the 1980s, the resurrection of Christ was often headline news in Great Britain. And after some controversial Easter broadcasts, David Jenkins, then Bishop of Durham, claimed he believed in it, but a resurrection where the tomb may still house a corpse is hardly a resurrection at all, in biblical or even creedal terms. The unambiguous statements in 1 Corinthians move me to write this text. Notice how the first two lines of the text are stating Paul's argument. If Christ had not been raised and so forth, and then the second two lines, the last two lines, say, but indeed Christ has been raised, which is always Paul's answer to his hypothetical argument. Then the tune writer, Philip Magnus, who's a church musician in Illinois, in Chicago area, tried to write the tune to match that. So notice how at the third line, then it goes up. The melody goes up in kind of a resurrection type of motif. Let's sing through this once. Paul will play it once for us, and we'll go from there.
How many stanzas?
Let's just do stanzas 1 and 2.
If Christ had not been raised from death, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching but a waste of breath, our sin and guilt remain. But now the Lord is risen indeed, he rules in earth and heaven. His gospel meets the world of need. In Christ we are forgiven. If Christ still lay within the tomb, then death would be the end, and we should face our final doom with neither guide nor friend. But now the Savior is raised up, so when a Christian dies, we mourn yet look to God in hope, in Christ the saints arise.
Again, also a successful melody in that there's a decent amount of repetition built into it, yet with some musical interest in that repetition. Paul is going to take it from here in terms of the speaking.
The next hymn, and I'm going to hold off putting on the screen for just a second, I have to tell you the story of this hymn. We discovered a hymn by Herman Stumpfli, and if you don't know that name, you look in the supplement and you'll find his name in frequent places. He is a ELCA clergyman who actually was first professor of homiletics at the Gettysburg Seminary and then the president of that seminary for a number of years until his retirement. And toward the end of his career there, and now in retirement for the last 15 years, he's been writing hymns by the dozens and dozens. He's published 3 collections at this point of very fine hymns, almost always based on a specific Bible text, very often taken from the 3-year lectionary. We ran across a text of his that was based on the story of Jesus' resurrection of the widow's son at Nain, one of the resurrection miracles that was recorded for us in Scripture. It was a marvelous text, had all kinds of interesting analogies and metaphors and language that was used. But our concern was that lesson only appears once every 3 years. And so we'd have a whole page devoted to a hymn you could only sing one time in 3 years because it was so specific to that account. So we had his email address. This is probably 4 years ago already now. We had his email address, and I wrote him because we had done some correspondence when we did the supplement with a few issues that he had helped us with, some of his hymns. And I pitched an idea to him. I said, what if instead of just a hymn on that account, you were to write a hymn that would cover all 3 resurrection miracles of Jesus? And you would do it in the same way you have the hymn by all your saints in warfare. You have an opening and a closing stanza, and then you insert the stanza for the day that's appropriate. And I suggest you could have an opening and closing stanza and insert 2 stanzas on each of the 3 resurrection miracles. So the one for Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and also Lazarus. He wrote me back right away and said, that's a very intriguing idea. I'll give it some thought. He said, but I'm right now in the middle of another writing project, getting another one of his hymn volumes ready for publication. I'm chairman of our congregation. We're in a building phase or something. He said, it might be a while. 5 days later, I had the hymn. Obviously, it must have been very intriguing, and he couldn't go to sleep or something. It's amazing how somebody can do that, and he was able to do it so well. And so this is the hymn, then, that we now have, O Christ who shared our mortal life. And so what you have here is the, it was here, I'm sorry, I'm really losing it. This is the first and the last stanzas, and then you have stanzas 2 and 3, it says insert the appropriate stanza. So, O Christ who shared our mortal life and ended death's long reign, who healed the sick and raised the dead and bore our grief and pain, we know our years on earth are few, that death is always near, come now to us, O Lord of life, bring hope that conquers fear. So that sort of sets it up for the story. Now comes the first of those accounts. I challenge you to actually close your eyes and listen to me reading it. Because this, especially the one for Jairus' daughter, has such marvelous imagery. You can almost see it and taste it and smell it and picture it in your mind. A ruler proud but bent by grief knelt down before your feet. My cherished daughters gripped by death, come now and death defeat. A multitude had gathered round to hear the truth you taught. But leaving them, you turned to help a father sore distraught. You pressed through crowds to reach the child whose limbs with death grew cold. She is not dead, she only sleeps, the weeping folk you told. And then you took her hand and called, my child, I bid you rise. She rose, and all stood round you, Lord, with awed and wondering eyes. Isn't that marvelous how he's captured the whole story? The only thing he wrote in his little note when he sent it back is, I considered the part in the story where it's, this whole story is interrupted with the woman who has the hemorrhage and the flow of blood, and she touches his garment, and Jesus stops. Who touched me? He says, but I didn't think it would fit. And I said, that's okay. And I know that our exegetes will say that's an important interruption at that moment, but for the purposes of the hymn, that was okay. Now comes the hymn as it originally existed. This was the first stanza. Let's look at this title. The Ranks of Death with Trophy Grim. Now, I'm partial to it because my name is there. But nevertheless, just look at this text. Through ancient streets once trod, and suddenly confronted you, the deathless Son of God. A widow's tears evoked your word. You stopped the bearer's tread. Weep not in pity, then you spoke to her whose son was dead. The ranks of death, the Lord of life, stood face to face that hour, and you took up the age-old strife with words of awesome power. Young man, arise, you ordered loud, and death defeated lay. The widow's son cast off his shroud and strode from death away. Just a powerful text in the language that's used. And then the third one. Two weeping sisters, worn by grief and mired in depths of gloom, stood watching where their brother lay within a rock-sealed tomb. When, Lord, you met them as they mourned, you wept compassion's tear. But Martha, sore with sorrow, said, he'd lived had you been here. I am the Lord of life and death, you answered Martha's cry, and all who hear and trust my word shall live, although they die. You walked the path to Lazarus' tomb, you called him forth by name, and living, loving once again, from death to life he came. Now we're going to go back to the beginning and listen to the last stanza, and then we'll sing both the first and last. Here's how it then concludes. Death's power holds us still in thrall and bears us toward the tomb. Death's darkening clouds hang like a pall that threatens earth with doom. But you have broken death's embrace and torn away its sting. Restore to life our mortal race. Raise us, O risen King. This tune is a new tune written by Kevin Hildebrand. He is an assistant cantor at the seminary in Fort Wayne. And it works very well. There's some repetition is built into the first, second, and fourth lines, which all begin the same. Each one ends a little differently to bring a little variety about it. But when you get then to the third line where it's different, you quickly see there's a nice little pattern going on. It's very easy to learn it and to grab it very quickly. So let's sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Christ, who shared our mortal life and ended death's long reign, who healed the sick and raised the dead and bore our grief and pain. We know our years on earth are few, that death is always near. Come now to us, O Lord of life, bring hope that conquers fear. Death's power holds us still in thrall and bears us toward the tomb. Death's darkening clouds hang like a pall that threatens earth with doom. But you have broken death's embrace and torn away its sting. Restore to life our mortal race. Raise us, O risen King.
Those three resurrection miracles nicely occur, one in series A, one in series B, and one in series C. So the hymn can be sung each year then when those texts appear. Let's go on to another category of hymns, new tunes for existing texts. One of the challenges we face as we looked at hymns that would be included in the hymnal were some of the rich hymns from our Lutheran tradition, the chorales from the 16th century, and the challenge faced by some of those hymns with tunes that are just challenging. I'm not going to say unsingable, because I can find you a great school that can sing them. All right, they can be taught, but they are challenging, and it's likely a congregation is not going to pick up a lot of those if they've never sung them before. There were a few that we decided to identify as hymns we would like to get possibly some new tunes for, with the plan to include both the tune of the current, that, for that text that currently is available, along with a new tune. And one of those was Luther's baptism hymn. This was not in TLH. It first appeared for us in Lutheran worship. The tune, I think you sing it in chapel here, "To Jordan came the Christ our Lord." It's a powerful and sturdy tune, but it's a little dark at times, or as somebody said, so Germanic. We put this out on the internet as part of our publicity for all the work on the hymnal as it was developing, and received an email from a man in Durham, over in England, and he wrote and said, "I'm interested in doing this a little bit, but I don't have these texts. You indicate which hymnal these are from, but I don't have them." So I connected him with somebody in Cambridge and said, you know, get him some hymnals. And so they sent him a copy of their hymnals. And a little while later, we got a few of his submissions. And one of those was for Luther's baptism hymn. His name is David Lee. Never talked with the man on the phone even, but via email, we communicated back and forth. I suggested changes to the tune, just improve some sections, and he was readily willing to help out with that. Let's sing stanzas 1 and 2, just so you have a chance to hear this. You'll see again, there's repetition. The lines are a little different. You have to see they're breaking into the second line, but you'll quickly see that there's some familiarity, and even the last line picks up a little bit of repetition from the beginning. Let's play it through so they can hear the whole thing real quick. Thank you.
then came the Christ our Lord to do his Father's pleasure, baptized by John, the Father's word was given us to treasure. This heavenly washing now shall be a cleansing from transgression, and by his blood and agony release from death's oppression, a new life now awaits us.
Let's stop there. I have to use this at least once, my little Dottie thing. You heard that da dum bum bum ba dum bum bum. That was the first phrase, the third phrase, and then again the seventh phrase when we got back to "And by His Blood." This hymn is an interesting meter in that there are nine lines to it. So this ninth phrase is like a tag at the end. And so you get this version, da 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 dum ba da dum bum. He's blowing it up to the top. And then, a new life now. It's the same, yum bum ba dum bum. You the repetition coming from an interior phrase, which allows, again, it holds the tune together. It helps you to hear it better, too, and to remember it. We won't repeat a second stanza here because we're going to go to the next hymn. We discover Luther has another hymn with the same meter. And again, another very challenging tune. May God bestow on us his grace.
May God bestow on us his grace.
Pardon my cold. That's another tune that's a challenging one. In fact, it's probably even harder than Luther's baptism hymn. And so we put this text to that, and it works also. So let's sing one stanza again. Let's sing stanza one. This is Luther's paraphrase of Psalm 67, which is that great mission psalm, which is just three stanzas long, and so it really probably has not been utilized as it should have been, and perhaps this will give it some new life in our churches.
May God bestow on us his grace, with blessings rich provide us, and may the brightness of his face to life eternal guide us, that we his saving health may know, his gracious will and pleasure, and also to the nation show Christ's riches without measure, and unto God convert them.
So it's a tune that I think can very quickly be learned and used then on many occasions. Again, the mission hymn, this one, could be sung several times in the year when you're teaching it, and then when you come to the baptism of our Lord right after Epiphany would be the time then to use for the other hymn. Another hymn that we discovered that could perhaps use a new tune was this Latin office hymn. It's an ancient hymn. It's a marvelous text. This is the chant that it was set to in Lutheran worship. With my scratchy voice, I'll try to sing this. I had to put this up here because I don't even remember. I can't remember this melody. I've never learned it well enough, and it's hard.
O Savior of our fallen race, O brightness of the Father's grace.
Okay, that's enough. You don't want to hear me sing it. And you realize, ooh, how would that go over on a Sunday morning? You get the slam dunk syndrome, you know, slam it and dunk it. So we have a new tune for this one. This is by Stephen Johnson. He's a church musician in our synod up in Connecticut. He actually lives in New York, but crosses the border each week for church, and it's quite a nice tune that works very well. He added an Alleluia, and it's a Christmas hymn, Epiphany hymn. Okay, that's quite fair to do. But you'll see that the tune, again, almost has a chant-like character to it. It sort of gets going, it goes up, comes down, holds for a whole note on the word race, starts again, holds another whole note on the word face, and then it's sort of, O Son of shared the Father's might before the world. There's sort of a chant-like feel to it, but it's just far simpler to sing. I'll go ahead and play through it, and then we'll sing both stanzas.
Thank you. Father's face. O Son of Shed, the Mother's might, before the world knew day or night. Alleluia. O Savior, very light of light, our constant star in sin's deep night. Now hear the prayers your people pray throughout the world this holy day. Alleluia.
There's also another hymn with that text as well in the book. I heard the voice of Jesus say, in TLH, the tune was named Vox Delecti.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest.
It's a real dark tune. And then in the second half of the hymn, it goes on, I came to Jesus. It goes into a major key. It actually just switches back and forth between major and minor. In Lutheran worship, they tried a new tune by Thomas Tallis, a 16th century composer. It's a very dark tune.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest.
That didn't work too well either. Oh, okay. In the movie Babe?
No, about the pig.
Oh, the pig movie Babe, they use that tune? It's been used in numerous places, but I didn't know it was in the movie Babe. Okay. About a pig. All right, this tune is by Amanda Husberg, that composer we heard earlier from New York, the retired preschool teacher. It really works extremely well, and it picks very nicely that just sort of the gentleness of this text when you think about it. So just play the last two lines to introduce it for us, and then we'll sing the first stanza only.
Of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.
It's a little more challenging tune, but the folk-like character of it I think will appeal to people after they've heard it a little bit. It's the kind of hymn I would certainly have perhaps choir or soloist sing the first stanza or two, just so people have a chance to hear it a little bit and learn it. Some other hymns with texts that are new, but with tunes that are the same. What Hope and Eden prophesied, the same as The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns. This is another Advent hymn. This one, again, is by Stephen Starkey. He sort of took many of the Old Testament readings for Lent, or I'm sorry, for Advent, and crafted a hymn using those Old Testament readings from Isaiah. And so you have language like with the tame live with the wild, with the lamb and the lion side by side. A shoot will sprout from Jesse's stem, a branch from David's line. So you get some of that language. Christ came to suffer loss that by his death a dying world would rally to the cross. Lost paradise restored. You start to see all the biblical images in some of these texts that are just so richly laden everywhere you look. A new category. Taking existing texts. Did I write this right? New texts for existing tunes. That's right. Taking tunes we already know and having new hymns set to those tunes. This is one from, it was only in TLH, this wasn't in LW, so it will be new tune for some folks. This is a hymn on prayer. It's written by Chad Bird. He's an Old Testament professor at Fort Wayne. And it really has a lot of rich language here. One of our challenges was to find a few more hymns in the prayer section of the hymnal that would have some more strength to them. Hear us, Father, when we pray through your Son and in your Spirit. By your Spirit's word convey all that we through Christ inherit, that as baptized heirs we may truly pray. Let's just sing stanza one of this. Some of you might remember. It was Come Thou Bright and Morning Star in TLH, which will be in the Lutheran Service Book as well.
Come us, Father, when we pray, through your Son and in your Spirit, by your Spirit's word convey all that we through Christ inherit, that as baptized heirs we may truly pray.
The second stanza takes the Romans 8 language. When we know not what to say and our wounded souls are pleading, may your Spirit night and day groan within us, interceding. You quickly start to recognize these texts. These can make great studies in a Bible class, perhaps, at times. Let's go on. We're not going to do the tune for this one. It's Jerusalem, thou city fair and wide, I think, or high, and fair and high. Jerusalem, thou city fair and high. That's in the new hymnal as well as it was in our previous hymnals. This is a text translated by Herman Stumpfley, as it says there, but the text was actually originally written by Wilhelm Lea. It's a communion hymn and has some marvelous imagery that's provided here. Look at the second stanza. He speaks the word, the bread and wine to bless. This is my flesh and blood. He bids us eat and drink with thankfulness this gift of holy food. All human thought must falter. Our God stoops low to heal. Now present on the altar for us both host and meal. And there's a third stanza. The cherubim, their faces veiled from light, while saints in wonder kneel, sing praise to him whose face with glory bright no earthly masks conceal. This sacrament God gives us binds us in unity, joins earth with heaven beyond us, time with eternity. Sort of taking the therefore with angels and archangels language at the end of the proper preface and spinning that off into a hymn. Another new communion hymn, and we have a fair number of new communion hymns. In a sense, somebody can write a history someday looking at hymnals and say, gee, when TLH was written, they must have not had communion very often. And Lutheran worship has more. They must have been doing more. One can hope that by the time this hymnal is well in use in our churches, they'll see that the large number of hymns for distribution might suggest a continuing increase in that practice. This is to the tune, all depends on our possessing God's free grace and constant blessing. So it's a tune everybody knows, a new text. This was written by a German author. I can't remember his name. But it's translated by David Rogner. He's a professor of English at River Forest. And he wrote this text. It's a six-stanza hymn. We're not going to have time to go through the whole thing. But just catch a couple texts of the second stanza here. Christ himself, the priest presiding, yet in bread and wine abiding in this holy sacrament. It's fascinating when you look at a text of somebody who really knows how to use the language, how they can get rhymes to make be so natural, and how sometimes others try, I'd be one of them, you try to do this and you just clunky rhymes that just don't work very well. The next stanzas, you just can scan them yourself very quickly and see some of the marvelous language that's provided. And here are the last two stanzas, so it is a nice lengthy hymn for use during distribution. Look at the fifth stanza up here. Wedding garments he provides me, with a robe of white he hides me, fits me for the royal hall. Just, again, the language from Scripture is so rich. This text is by Richard Resch, a cantor at the Fort Wayne Seminary for almost 30 years now. This is it's a hymn on the means of grace, and you'll see it as we look through the stanzas. The tune was a familiar one in TLH. It didn't get over into LW, but it will now be in Lutheran service book. The first stanza simply sets you up. The gifts Christ freely gives, he gives to you and me, to be his church, his bride, his chosen, saved, and free. Saints blessed with these rich gifts are children who proclaim that they were won by Christ and cling to his strong name. Now the next stanza goes into baptism. You'll see it talks about the font. Let me just go down to some other stanzas. Stanza 3 talks about absolution. Stanza 4, about the word of God, read and proclaimed. Stanza 5, the Lord's Supper. And then stanza 6 is at the conclusion. Let's sing, over time, let's just sing one stanza of this. Just give us a quick introduction and we'll muddle through.
Gifts Christ freely gives, he gives to you and me, to be his church, his bride, his chosen, raved and free. Saints blessed with these rich gifts are children who proclaim that they were won by Christ and cling to his strong name.
How many of you knew that tune? You sang it well. Do you find it easier to sing a hymn when you have just melody line and not all those other notes cluttering the page? As we mentioned, about 20% of the hymns will have just melody line. In the electronic version of the hymnal, all the hymns will have melody line, which will be available to be put in your bulletin or on screen, so you have that flexibility. Sometimes you may want to, even if you use the hymnal itself, and I hope you do in your parish, there may be times when you want to teach a new hymn that it might be more beneficial just to put the melody line version in your service folder for that week so they can see it easier, see just that melody line and learn the hymn perhaps a little easier. All right, now for some fun. I didn't get to put the Reverend Dr. Doctor down here. We have a hymn by Herman Nudix. One of our committee members had too much time on his hand. He went through TLH and he scouted out all of the what we call obsolete words. And that's a distinction we made in our work to distinguish archaic language from obsolete language. There are words that just have lost all meaning for us today or mean something different than what they originally meant, as opposed to archaic language, which is old-fashioned but is still understood by most. And so he grabbed all these obsolete words and crafted a nice little hymn for us, for which we do not have a tune, so don't get excited. You're not going to get to sing this. In yonder misty glebe, where sooth is seldom seen, I ask thy humble plebe, O Lord, what does this mean? These are words in TLH hymns. No guerdon e'er so small can constipate my spleen, or stop my mournful call, O Lord, what does this mean? If thou art yea, how great, thou must have wit so keen to now prognosticate, O Lord, what does this mean? Prevent the highest plane, or e'en. And lo, who can explain, O Lord, what does this mean? Now, there's a word coming up that's not in TLH. I admit to one. Obfuscation now assaults my being. Please send a mental ray, O Lord, what does this mean? The mental ray and the bean, those are in hymns, but not a fusty locutation. So just once in a while, a little fun. Timetable, I think we shared this last time if you weren't there. The convention approved this project in 2004. It is in the editing and production phase, and we're going crazy right now. The hymnal itself, the pupil has to be to the publisher May 1st. And so that's our deadline now, and it looms larger each day. Publication will be mid-2006. Actually, that should say fall of 2006. Probably September, we can be more accurate in saying when you can actually get a copy. There's websites. We're eventually going to be launching LSB as the main website now, and ours will start to just take things away. This fall, we'll be having over 270 workshops in the United States and Canada to introduce the hymnal. It'll be all over the place, and so it won't be hard to find one near you. There'll be all kinds of mailings coming out this year to congregations. A big brochure comes out at the end of April. A DVD and a CD of hymns will be coming out in mid-June to all congregations so they can listen to some new hymns. A DVD that has some very nice presentations with lots of folks talking about the hymnal, and it should be a very useful resource. And then a congregation kit at the end of summer with the hymnal, actually a copy of the hymnal provided to each congregation. We'll be doing another workshop, another of these convocations, in April, as you heard, on the 12th. That will focus on lectionary and agenda. We're also completely revising the agenda, and so we'll show you some things from there that are going to be new and different. And then also talking about the lectionary, too, some of the revisions and what that means and what the new lectionary is actually going to look like and some of the benefits of that book. So questions come up, and I appreciate your time here, and bring all your friends next time. Thanks.